Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, everybody. It's episode number 3 of Witchy Wellness Radio. And today is going to be our first interview episode with Dr. Zach Thomas. And he is a vitalistic chiropractor and founder of Vibe, a center for optimal living here in Columbus. And I'm very thrilled to share this interview because it's jam-packed with so many different stories, insights, tools, and tips that will all lead you to a healthy life of flourishing. And one of my favorite quotes that Zach said during this episode that really hit the nail on the head, kind of overall what we discussed, was, "We are all designed to live a life in thriveful, not survival." But some of the topics that we'll go through start with Zach's healing story, how he went from his back injury to now being a chiropractor, how stress and trauma really affect your entire body, health, and wellness, the difference between the absence of sickness and actually being healthy, how to move stagnant energy and emotions and let them flow through you, how the body can and will heal itself, building and recognizing your own intuition muscle, getting the most out of your adjustments, when you should come in for chiropractic care and who is it actually for, how to stop feeling like a victim of your pain, symptoms, and body. Lastly, we end with a discussion on the possible emotional links to vertebrae misalignment issues. So, without further ado, here's the interview. Enjoy. Hi, Zach. Welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. This is our first interview guest today, and he is a chiropractor at Vibe, a center for optimal living. And I just thought we could dive in and kind of get to know you a little bit and your healing story and insights of how you went from your back injury all the way to now, and you're a chiropractor.
Yeah, awesome. That sounds great. So originally, I guess going back to like before I hurt my, like before the actual injury itself, 22, I was a personal trainer at the time. I was a full-time student at Ohio State, just, kind of grinding it out, I guess, really is the easiest way to put it. I was, multiple 18-hour days between training and school. I was really physically, pushing my body very, very hard. Pretty much lived off of caffeine at that point to get me through those days. So I was pushing my body to the max. Yeah. So it was one day, it was November 11th. About 10:30 a.m. I've always said I will never forget that day and that time when it actually happened. I was doing deadlifts. If you know what a deadlift is, pulling, weight just on a barbell, straight off the floor. I was about halfway up off of the floor, and what I described to people as what it felt like a person took like a running start and slammed me in the back with a baseball bat is pretty much what it felt like. Heard and felt like this big pop in my lower back, barbell dropped, hit the floor. And I was stuck at a 90 degree angle, and I couldn't stand up all the way. Like my body was just like my muscles had spasmed so hard, like a safety mechanism as what I see it now and how I understand it now, to keep me from further injuring myself, keeping me in that, that bent over position so I didn't do any more damage. But to shorten up the story, I spent about 7 days, like a week, laying on my best friend's parents' living room floor 24/7 for a week, not really moving, pretty much watching TV. I was taking 2 Percocets every 4 hours, a muscle relaxer every 6 hours, and just pretty much what I would call is like a vegetative state almost. Like I was literally just laying there, like not doing anything. Only time I would get up was like to go to the bathroom, but from laying down so much and, the medication and all that, my as soon as I would get up to take a step, my calves would cramp up so hard that I would make it like one or two steps and have to stop, go another couple steps, stop, go another couple steps, stop, until I finally actually made it to the bathroom and then had to work my way back and lay back down. So it was like seven days or so. And at that point, I was able to actually get up and move around, I guess. But I was walking with a cane. So if you can picture a 22-year-old, seemingly physically fit person actually training clients in the gym with a cane. People, it's crazy. I still people remember people coming up to me and asking me about, like, if I was in a car accident, did I have cancer, stuff like that, just because I was walking around with a cane and nobody really knew what was going on. But I was lucky to have a person that worked with me, kind of in my life, that really helped me, because as soon as I got back to the gym, she asked me, are you still taking that medication? Like, I was like, yeah. Like, because at the time I had no other frame of reference as far as health goes to know any different. I grew up in the medical model. My mom, who still does, had worked for a hospital my entire life. So anytime we got sick or hurt anything, we went to the doctor or the ER, whatever have you. So I didn't really have a different mindset of like, okay, well, I'd have this injury and I'm taking these pain pills because they numb the pain, basically. And quick fact here, I'll throw this in. If you don't know, opiate painkillers don't actually block your pain. They actually block off your ability to care about it, basically. So it's not that the pain isn't gone. It's just you don't care about it anymore.
Oh, that's interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah. So it's kind of a dangerous route, especially like for somebody like me that would work out very hard, so on the workout, seemingly thinking like, oh, I don't hurt, like I can go work out and possibly do some more damage. So that was kind of what this person that I worked with, actually, her name is Kelly Giordano, and she's actually here in Columbus, still in Dublin. I believe she is training at the Melt Hot gym in Dublin. But she came and asked me, or pretty much, she didn't ask me, she told me, she was like, you need to stop, you need to get off of those as quick as you can. She had some experience with people in her life that had done the same thing. I don't know if I said it, I ended up herniating two discs in my lower back. So I completely blew out the two lowest discs in my lower back. So she was basically, get off those, they're not doing anything for you. You need to stop because there's all these other side effects. It's like being young, and I was just like, okay. So I just did it. I think then that day I just stopped, cold turkey. And thankfully, I'd only been taking them for, at that point, probably 10 days. So I didn't really have any kind of withdrawal symptoms or anything like that. I didn't have anything crazy that I had to deal with, thankfully, to coming off of that. But basically stopped those and started initially. She tried to get me to go to a chiropractor, but I didn't go because at that time I knew nothing about a chiropractor, what chiropractors did. I did reformer Pilates with her about three times a week for about 2 months, just to try to bring my core strength back up to start to stabilize my spine again, so I could actually get back to functioning, or close to functioning, at the level that I was. Get past those 2 months, and I pretty much stopped doing any kind of rehab or any kind of work to keep myself, from hurting myself again. And I go right back into weightlifting super hard. And it was about, it was like almost a year later, like to the day, a year later, like within like a week, like I threw my back out again for a second time. So it wasn't as bad. I didn't herniate anything again, but I was playing, I think it was like ultimate frisbee or something like that. I jumped up for the frisbee and kind of reached back for it. But at the same time, somebody kind of nudged me from the back. So I hyperextended a little too far, and my muscles just gave out on me. Like I couldn't stand, I wasn't stuck. I just physically like couldn't stand up all the way. So again, for like, I think this one was only like 3 or 4 days, I was laying on the floor again, but this time in my own house, trying to recover. And then after that time, I actually Kelly, same person as first time coming up to me. She was like, so are you going to go to a chiropractor now? I was like, okay, yeah, fine. I'll give it a shot. So I did my first chiropractor, Dr. Stephanie Gudorf, who is also in the Columbus area. She works out of 11 Athletics in Bexley. That's where she practices now. But she was my first chiropractor, and she was, you know, my first experience. And I remember the first time leaving after my first adjustment and just asking myself, like, okay, how can I do that for people? Like, what just happened? Because I remember walking out, my vision seemed clearer, the color seemed brighter, like things were just different. And I was just like, what in the heck? Just what did she do? Like, what happened? But at the same time, in my life, I was looking for something different. I was getting to the point where it was like, I thought I wanted to be a personal trainer, but I was like, man, like, I don't have the heart to keep doing it. I don't love it. I have to force myself. I'm really having to force myself to like keep doing this. So I was thinking of like this career change. And at the same time, I see a chiropractor for the first time. I started asking her, I was like, you know, what's it take? Like, well, how do you become a chiropractor? Like, I didn't even know. Like, most people, like, you ask, they think is medical school. Like, it's some version of medical school. So they think like, oh, you can go to Ohio State's medical school and get a chiropractic, you know, degree, which is not true at all. chiropractic college is actually a separate, like, distinct thing from medical school. Like, they're their own schools. Yeah. So from that point, she told me, and I just kind of got looking into it. I asked her where she went. Again, Kelly, the person I used to work with, she knew several chiropractors that all went to the same place. So my only frame of reference was Life University in Atlanta, Georgia. I didn't look at any other schools. I didn't even visit Life, like, in person. I just applied. Wow. I got my acceptance letter, and I showed up for a new student orientation, first time ever seeing the campus.
Well, you just knew you were ready for that change. And second time around, you're like, you're ready to look at that deeper meaning.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of, and then so fast forward. So now I'm here. So that's
kind of the. And yeah. I think it's really interesting that you said it happened, the first time it happened on November 11th, right? Mm-hmm. Which is 11/11. Mm-hmm. And you said around 11:30 a.m. It could have been 11:11 a.m. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just saying that's a lot of ones guiding you on your path here.
Yeah.
Interesting. So yeah, now you and your wife, Jessica, opened up Vibe. And yeah. I love the meaning behind it. I love that it's an ode to like law of vibration, which states that anything that exists in our universe, whether seen or unseen, can be broken down and analyzed into its purest form, which consists of pure energy or light, which resonates and exists as a vibratory frequency or pattern. And so in reference to health or your well-being, the vibe refers to our human or physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual states. So your vibe is really a reflection of your life. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I got that right off your site. I think it's beautiful. It just like pinpoints what you guys are all about. Beautiful place for healing. Realizing how stress and trauma and emotions can really affect your full body health and wellness. So could you talk to us a little bit how stress really does affect your body and your nervous system, but also how Sure. chiropractic care really ties into all of that?
Sure, absolutely. So I think the easiest way to start it is, you know, most people know what stress is. You know, most people have this feeling that they know, like an actual feeling, like when they're stressed out, they know they're stressed out because they have this feeling like in their body. We get anxious, we get, touchy, maybe a little emotional, kind of these things. But stress, it affects us because it's actually doing a lot of stuff in our brain. It's changing a lot of our functions in our body. But as far as like nervous system, all these things go, when we experience a stressful an event in our life that, you know, we perceive as stressful and we're unable to, you know, kind of, you know, handle that or process that and fully kind of, you know, integrate that into who we are, our nervous system pretty much just holds on to that experience. Like, analogy I use in the office is basically we put it in our back pocket, we save it for later, for when we can actually come back to whatever that stressful event or whatever that stressful trauma was in our life, when we come back to it, we can actually start to process and actually start to integrate that experience. So what happens for most of us as we go through our life and we're, you know, constantly experiencing these stressful events or having these traumas come in our life, and we just don't have the right strategies or the right tools to really process and integrate those things, we start to hold on to all those and we start to stack them on top of each other, basically. When we're doing that, whatever that event or whatever that trauma was, it's creating a pattern within our nervous system. When we aren't doing what we need to do to process that, every day we wake up, we're basically like running that pattern over and over again, because our nervous system is a search and find mechanism, right? So even though it is super intelligent and amazing, it does everything for us in our body, it can't tell the difference between, you know, an event happening, you know, right in front of your face or in real time, or an event that happened, you know, 10 years ago, because it's that pattern or the stress that was, or the emotions, whatever it was that was around that event, that gets your nervous system, like locks that in as that pattern. And we just constantly replay that over and over and over again, unless or until we are, you know, doing something to change that pattern. And that's where, you know, chiropractic can enter in and actually start to really help people with that. And I think that's probably for, you know, the listeners is a new thought when I think about chiropractic, because that's not the mainstream version people hear of as chiropractic care.
But I think people need to know. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. I completely agree. And it's chiropractic is actually all about allowing you to function at your highest capabilities, you know, allowing your nervous system to function at an optimal level, so that we are as clear and connected to ourselves, so we can go out and be the best expression of ourselves, so we can, you know, give our talents and our gifts to the world. So back to, you know, how, you know, getting adjusted, you know, when we're doing that is we're offloading that stress and that tension from your nervous system. So when we're starting to offload this stress and offload this tension from our bodies, from our nervous system, we actually give ourselves the opportunity to go back and reprocess and reintegrate all of the stress, all of the traumas and things that we've held on to from our lifetime of experiences.
That's so cool. I think I heard from Joe Dispenza, Dr. Joe Dispenza, mm-hmm. which also, I think he also went to Lifer University.
He did.
As well, that the thoughts that we had from the day before, we experienced 90% of the same thoughts we had the day before. So only really 10% of those conscious and unconscious thoughts change. Mm-hmm. So you can really see how these, you know, it doesn't even have to be one event. It can be like these repeating thoughts or patterns, emotional patterns that we have, emotional stress that we have every day.
Absolutely. Can just,
and that's how you can help retrain your body through chiropractic, but also through things like meditation or mindfulness or visualizations, is your body can't tell the difference between mm-hmm. an event happening in the past, the present, or the future. So when you right. are able to harness, you realize that it's powerful, because it happens with negative stuff, but also with positive stuff.
Absolutely.
So when you can bring in more joy, more abundance, happiness, freedom, whatever you want to feel, you can do that in a positive way too, which is really powerful. I think it's really helped me with my health and wellness, my own abundance, my business, relationships. Who doesn't want to feel good?
Yeah, I totally agree.
So we kind of talked about how stress affects the body mm-hmm. and how chiropractic can help that. But I wanted to kind of talk about the difference between living with an absence of sickness or symptoms or disease and what actually being healthy is, or what I like to think of like flourishing in my mind. Because okay. people's perceptions of healthy is like, I'm not sick yet, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we're trying to do at Vibe when people are coming in, is to start that conversation with them and to start to hopefully get them to engage in the process, in the journey of their health and of their optimal expression of health, as something that is much more than just the absence or presence of some sort of symptom. Right. We've, as a society, really, in my view, we've kind of gotten stuck on this model of health being like presence or absence of symptoms, because, you know, we've, and not saying, you know, it's bad or anything not trying to downplay it at all, but you know, our current healthcare system really just plays into managing symptoms. You know, we do that. It's either medication, surgeries, radiation, anything like that to try to manage the symptom. Well, as soon as the symptom is gone, you're quote unquote healthy, right? But how many times have we heard of the all-star athlete, you know, dropping dead in the middle of a game, or these, you know, ultra marathon runners or something like that, you know, having a heart attack mid-race, something like that. These people that we think that are healthy are actually, you know, just like, you know, obviously, you know, getting sick out of nowhere or anything like that. But it's, and it kind of comes back to that. It's just, you know, just because they weren't expressing some sort of symptom doesn't mean that they weren't actually healthy. They weren't actually functioning at a high level. And it really comes back to, you know, our nervous system and all the nerves in our body. I believe it is something between 10 to 20% of that, you know, nervous system is actually dedicated to like sensation and feeling, and the rest of it's towards function. So by the time you're actually feeling something going wrong, you know, a symptom is actually popping up, it's probably been there for a while. Your body has just been trying to process it or deal with it on its own. Well, now you get to a point where, you know, this XYZ symptom pops up, whatever it may be. I see it as like an alarm clock basically going off in the body, like a warning, like, hey, ding, 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 something's going wrong. You need to change something. You need to take some sort of action that's different than what you're doing to get you moving back in the other direction. Because I think, I mean, I had this quote in my head earlier. I think it was Hippocrates, father of modern medicine, actually was quoted as saying, we are simultaneously growing and dying at the same time. Right? So if you think about it, our cells, all of our cells, all 100 trillion of our cells that we all have in our body that make us us, all of those cells are constantly undergoing regeneration, right? So they're either, you know, we're regenerating and creating new cells, but at the same time, those cells are dying and falling off, making way for new cells. Well, if a larger percentage, if you're, you know, I guess if our bodies are leaning more towards the degeneration side, like in the cells are like dying off, we have more of that happening and not as much of regeneration. Well, then we have, you know, that's sickness. That's not functioning at a high level. That's not flourishing, right? For me, and how I view it is, you know, we're trying to get the body and the nervous system back up to functioning in the way it should, because we're all designed to thrive. In my opinion, you know, my viewpoint is we're all designed to live a life in thrival and not survival. So when we're doing all the things that are good for us, especially for our nervous system, you know, getting adjusted, meditation, high quality foods, stress reduction, all these kind of things, exercise, we're, all of those things are helping facilitate our body and facilitate our nervous system to be in more of a growth side of things. So that all of our cells are regenerating at a high level, and we have more regeneration and more growth going on than we do of the degeneration and the death side of things.
We kind of briefly touched on these like emotional patterns, or as you said, like, more cells degenerate than regenerate. I know for my own healing journey, I started showing physical symptoms in my hip and my knee at probably the peak in this certain topic or issue that I was having in my life. It was like the peak moment where I was just knee deep and you know what. And the more that I work with modalities like chiropractic and, you know, energy healing, meditation, and how I talk to myself, you feel those emotions and the physical sensations start to almost wash away. And this is something I want to talk more about, how chiropractic can help with that, because it's basically moving energy and kind of stagnant emotions are around.
Yeah. So really, so when somebody comes into my office and they're getting adjusted, all I'm trying to do is to locate the areas of stress in the body, adding some input to those areas. And by input, I mean, you know, adjusting. And you know, you're in the office, so you know how that kind of can vary between a more gentle, very specific kind of input to these, you know, specific areas for your nervous system. But it, then it can also be or look more like a traditional chiropractic adjustment, or what people think of when it, when they think of getting adjusted by a chiropractor, that, that happens as well. And it's all just based on what the pattern is and where the stress and is held and all these kind of things. So it's not even that where chiropractic is trying, like I, so for me personally, being a chiropractor, people coming in, I'm not trying to fix anything. I'm not trying to like release anything from the body. I'm just trying to remove the stress, remove the interference per se to the nervous system, so the nervous system can come back to functioning at a higher level. And when that happens, all of those things that you just mentioned can actually start to occur. And for me, you know, one of the most profound experiences I've had with that was, you know, getting adjusted while I was on a mission trip in Mexico, just laying on a table, you know, getting adjusted. And it was more along the lighter input side, the, you know, for, to the naked eye, when people see it, all it looks like is just somebody like touching you. But it's actually a lot more than that. But that's what was happening. And all of a sudden, you know, I just out of nowhere, just started bawling my eyes out. Just while I'm laying face down on a table, just started crying so hard. And if that would have happened to me, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I would have blocked it up. I would have like just kept it in and like not like let it happen, but I let it happen and just kind of let it flow through there. And you know, that in that moment I was able to tell myself that I love myself for the very first time in my life at 20. How old was I then? I was 28 years old. So I tell myself, you know, I love myself. I love you, Zach, for the first time in my life. And
that's a really powerful moment. Really, I know. Profound.
You know, yeah. What? I got off the table, and for the first time in almost 6 years, I had zero back pain.
Wow. I just got full body chills. I did. Oh,
zero.
Wow.
So even though I had been under chiropractic care, I really didn't have much back pain to begin with. I always had this little, like, just annoyingly nagging ache in my back. And after that, gone. And I like have, like, I think I may have experienced it maybe one time since then. And that was like a little over a year ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cause you know, you got the message. You,
yeah,
let the emotions flow through and you were able to receive, which mm-hmm. is awesome. But my perception of like how chiropractic and how the nervous system helps enable you to heal, it's really the belief that the body can heal itself.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So there's this principle within chiropractic. It's called the major premise. So back up just for a second. So one of the early textbooks in chiropractic, written by R.W. Stevenson in 1927, lays out what is known as the 33 principles. And these are the 33 principles pertaining to life, health, healing, well-being in chiropractic, right? And the first one is called the major premise. Okay, so that says that there is a universal intelligence that gives everything all of its properties and actions, thus maintaining it in existence, right? So there is this intelligence everywhere that is constantly giving everything its properties and actions, allowing it to exist, right? When people hear that for the first time coming from a chiropractor, they're like, what the heck?
Where did I come to?
Yeah. But that is one of the foundational principles of chiropractic, that there is this universal intelligence everywhere, including you, mm-hmm. right? Including us as humans. It's in us. And, you know, within chiropractic, we recognize that intelligence within the human body as being the innate intelligence of the human body. And that intelligence is what flows over our nervous system, through our nervous system, to coordinate, control all of our functions in our body. And I'm even getting chills right now, like thinking of it, because it's not, I don't think it's so much of as like believing or having like faith in it. It's like a knowing that there is this mm-hmm. intelligence in my body that is way smarter than I could ever be. And all I really need to do is just do everything I can to get out of its way and facilitate it as best I can, right? So best example I could give is when you think about a baby being born, right? We go from one cell from mom, one cell from dad, and they come together when sperm cell meets egg. You may not know this, or you may already know this. When the sperm cell actually meets the egg, there's this flash of light. They've actually seen it on microscopes. So when that one sperm cell that's actually made it through the wall of the egg and actually gets in, there's this flash of light, right? And that starts this whole process of humans being created inside of another human. So, but if you think about it, what kind of intelligence does there have to be to take two cells from two different people, and in roughly 10 months, you have a 100 trillion celled being that is coming into the world. You know what I mean? And it's like, if you think about it, it's like, how does the body know how to do that? Like, how do the cells know how to do all that? And if you know anything about embryology, like, how do we go from just this little, what's called the primitive streak, into a notochord that's actually a nervous system, which is the very first structure developed embryologically, is our nervous system. And then we start to grow out, and we grow our heart and our lungs, everything that we need to be a fully functioning human being in 10 months. And so I get chills every time I talk about it, I just get chills about it. Cause it's just like, yeah. when you really think about it, it's like, wow, like I couldn't do that.
No. And you're not.
Like, I'm not smart enough to do that. Like, and it's just that recognition and having reverence for that intelligence within the body, knowing that we are capable of being healthy without all these, you know, crazy, you know, interventions. You know, all we need to do is give our body what we know it needs, you know, good food, clean water, rest, exercise. And then for me, you know, a clear nervous system so we can be connected to that universal intelligence.
Yeah, I think when I think of that, I think it's a Wayne Dyer story, one of my favorite guys. When you're in the womb, you're not thinking that, oh, I need to grow this hand next, and oh, wait for my hair. Was my hair going to grow? Or am I going to get a toe next? You're completely immersed. You surrendered and letting this universal intelligence take control. And I think what I work on with a lot of my clients is we all tense up with this concept of trust and surrendering because we all want to be in control. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of things to do. We know where we want to go, but we need to know every single little step of the way.
Right.
And that in itself leads to stress, leads to these physical symptoms coming up. I think what really helped with that is building your intuition and tapping into when you do feel that universal intelligence or your higher self or God, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
Is getting that feeling clear and continuing that on and building that muscle. Cause I really think that intuition is a muscle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a muscle. And it's actually a branch. To me, it's a branch of the nervous system too. Like, it's a piece of you, because that's how our nervous system is, not only how we, you know, function physiologically or internally, it's the lens, you know, that we perceive our world through. It's how we see our world, you know, through our senses, right? So our eyes, our nose, mouth, ears, all these things. But then that intuitive gut feeling is your nervous system at work for you on a daily basis. So for me, at least in my life, I've known, like, as I continually get adjusted, I know that I can trust my intuition more because I'm more clear. I can, you know, however you perceive your intuition, you hear it, you feel it, whatever it is. But it's stronger and it's clearer for me when I am getting adjusted, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I've experienced it getting adjusted with you. And I think it's hard for people, like you said, like you might feel or you might hear something, and logically things might look great on paper, or, you know, you're doing all the right healthy things per se, quote unquote. But if it just doesn't feel right for you, you know, that big gut visceral feeling, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I know that you really tap into your own intuition through adjusting. And there was this one story, I hope you don't mind me sharing, about we were adjusting my
It was my chest, one of the vertebrae or something. And it was like, oh wait, we came through the front, maybe to the back. It was related to like heart chakra kind of stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's around your sternum. Yeah.
And I was just kind of breathing into it, and I kept getting trust, I think, ironically enough, after I just said trust. And you kept getting, you got 5 years, or you got a certain time frame, and you kind of said, I don't know what this means to you, but I just want to let you know, this is what I kind of heard. And I was like, okay, thanks. Like, all right, you know.
What the heck is he talking and about?
I got to the car, and it just like hit me. It was like one of those moments where at that point in my life, I realized that I hadn't mourned the loss of a relationship of the old self. I had just continued right on. And it was really that mourning that old part of me was still there really deep inside. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks, and I got home and just cried. But it was so powerful.
Yeah.
Just, and that, I mean, what you said, but just like that release in my system and letting go of that stress and trusting and letting the universal power kind of do its thing and letting it in.
Yeah.
To help work out.
That's awesome. Yeah. I've forgotten about that. Yeah, that's great. So I think you texted Jess and she told me, and I was just like, oh, that's awesome. Like, good for her. Like, that's, and that's, you know, one of the reasons why I love what I do so much is just allowing, you know, to help people have those moments. The more we have these moments in our, you know, those moments, it doesn't have to be obviously like a huge profound one like that, but when they are, it's awesome. You know, we're making these leaps forward in our evolution and our growth of self, really, in my opinion.
See, people, it's so much more than just cracking your bones. I mean, and that's why I love it. I feel like people, I mean, I used to go to chiropractor growing up for like sports stuff. I had a lot of tendonitis and tendinosis in my arm playing tennis. But I think with any health and wellness thing, there's always, you got to find what works for you and what feels right. And this definitely feels right for me. And I think using your intuition and helping, like when your clients are getting adjusted, I find it really helpful, like breathing into certain areas and bringing my attention to those problem areas and, you know, visualizing and expanding, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Could you talk about more about kind of tools or tips that you use while you're getting adjusted that are kind of different, and but also maybe how they could continue doing some of that stuff outside of their chiropractic care?
Sure, absolutely. So one of my biggest mentors within chiropractic, but then also just my life in general, obviously to this point, is Dr. Wade Port, who practices down in Atlanta, Georgia. He's a really big part of both my and Jessica, my wife's life. Just worked for him while I was in school. I did my internship. I, you know, trained with him a lot while I was in school, but then he also married us back in July. So he is very, very close, very special, but he is always really big on giving very clear instructions when you're adjusting somebody, right? Because you don't want to have somebody, you know, you're already laying, for the most part, you're already laying face down on a table. You can't see anything, right? So you're already kind of in like this weird position. But then if you're trying to get somebody to do something or need them to move, if you're, you know, if it's unclear or you're mumbling or anything like that, it just makes it even more uncomfortable sometimes. So just being clear and like telling people, it's like, hey, like we need to get the breath into this area, like right here. Like I need you to breathe right here and maybe move this way or do something like that. It's important to me because breath is a fantastic tool that we all have, obviously, but it's a fantastic way to get our awareness and get our attention to a certain area, but then also to allow that energy to kind of move, you know, through our system, right? You know, breath is used in so many different applications as far as, you know, health, especially wellness. You think of like yoga, or you think of any type of like breath work, obviously, anything like that. But then as chiropractic, we're using that because it's allowing us to move. Like we need movement in our life. Like we're humans beings. We're not like these linear, like straight forward and backwards, sit down all day. We need to move. We're dynamic. Like we have to get out and move around a little bit. So People are getting adjusted. I'm trying to get them to breathe and move into those areas. One, to get their brains to be aware of those areas. And then two is to get kind of that energy moving again through the spine, up the spine. Law and thermodynamics, you know, energy cannot be created or destroyed. We just kind of store it in different ways. So when we have this stress and these traumas, you know, built up in our system, that is potential energy, right? So when we're adjusting into those areas, we're bringing breath to those areas, we're releasing that potential energy back into the system to hopefully use it for our growth, right? And our evolution. And one of the easiest ways we can do that is through our breath, right? So breathing. And even just, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. Like if somebody's like you asked about outside of getting adjusted, I found recently, like just taking 5 seconds to just stop and like take a breath, like a conscious breath, like to just, okay, like track it all the way in, track it all the way out, like being very aware of the breath, just is, it's a very grounding exercise that we can do. And just kind of bring us back to a more calm, peaceful state. But as far as like actual tools and strategies, whatever you want to call it, to use outside of getting adjusted, I am a big proponent, lover of meditation. I meditate every day.
Yeah, we both love it.
Absolutely love meditation. One reason why I love it is obviously because it stress reliever. It allows us to kind of relax and do all these things, but it's actually been shown through studies, scientific studies, research, that it is actually rewiring your brain, right? It's actually changing how your brain functions. And one of the, I was actually reading an article the other day, it's really cool. So if you think about the areas that we, that are used for like the identification of like self, and then like our fight or flight mechanisms end up creating stress, obviously, in our bodies. So those two areas in our brain are very highly connected. But when we actually start to meditate, we actually start to kind of decrease that connection between those two areas. We kind of decrease that. I want to say this. It's function, because it's still there, because we still need that, but it's not as prevalent. It's not as like in the forefront. It's not running the show as much as it does, because a lot of us, we are chronically stressed. We are overstressed all the time, but we still need that stress response. But you know, it should be like, come on, you know, and then come right back off. But too much of us are just, you know, pedal to the metal, like stressed out, and we're constantly in that stress state. Well, meditation actually starts to bring that back, so we can actually take, you know, take the foot off the gas a little bit and come back to a more relaxed state and not be as stressed out. Getting adjusted does do that too, but obviously when you're not in the office, we still need to do the things to facilitate what's going on. So meditation's great. Movement, exercise, I'm another proponent of, just because for me, I've noticed through my life working out and doing all these things that moving and exercising and, you know, doing this physical thing is like a form of meditation for me.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah.
Right. I feel like I always, it's almost the same feeling that after I meditate, where it's just kind of like this relaxed, like feeling, I get that after I work out. So it's kind of the same thing. And back to the movement piece, when we move, we are helping our body get rid of the stress, kind of offload the stress from our body. So you're kind of mimicking what's happening while you're getting adjusted as you're exercising. Those are my top two things. Meditation and exercise definitely are the two biggest things. And then obviously eating right, good food, clean, you know, organic, non-GMO, all that stuff, clean water is a must as well. But I love meditation. I love exercise. So those are the two that I tend to talk about the most.
And I think it can be meditation, at least for me at the beginning, it can be overwhelming. And some days you just don't, especially when you're starting, you don't want to sit down. And I found that movement, like yoga or even going for a run, can be very meditative, because you get into that state where there are no thoughts. At first, I feel like there's like this like cycle of working out in meditation where you sit down and all the thoughts, all the stress come flooding in, and then you just kind of, you know, let it go. I'm going to try to concentrate. And then it comes back out of nowhere. And then like really like self-deprecating, like really not great subconscious thoughts. boiling to the top. And I found through meditation and movement that you can really tell how you feel about yourself really, really quick. Mm-hmm. And that you can use that as a tool, but to realize that you can be an observer of these thoughts or these emotions or how you feel about yourself. And that's when you can start to change. You know, I'm not my feelings. I'm not my thoughts. I think that we're probably stuck with that article you said that you get stuck in your fight or flight mode and the connections of being your identity or self. That kind of makes sense to me that you're kind of stressed out and like trying to figure out who you are outside of yourself. Mm-hmm. And seeking for approval, worth, value, or whatever outside yourself versus what I have found through meditation and through movement is like, it's a knowing of who you are and that you are all the things that you ever wanted to be already inside mm-hmm. yourself. And I know that sounds like super woo and like, you know, self-care, all that stuff, but it's really true. It's like, returning to that part of you, returning to that universal consciousness that you already are, mm-hmm. and just remembering. That's what I feel like those fuzzy feelings when you move or get adjusted or meditation are. It's just like you're remembering and allowing in that higher part.
Yeah,
to flow through. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of wanted to. When to come in for chiropractic care and kind of who is it for? Because I think people, sure. both of those answers are going to throw people off a little.
Yeah, absolutely. So anybody really can come in for chiropractic care.
Babies, you know, pregnant ladies.
Babies, yeah. Everybody. Yeah, absolutely. You know, my daughter is now 21 months old. You know Shane very well.
The cutest.
But I adjusted her, 15 minutes after she was born. Right. Wow. So yeah. Yeah. Most people are going to be like, what you did, what? but adjusting kids, especially little babies like that looks completely different than it would be adjusting an adult. But yeah, you know, she, you know, think about it, you know, birth is not only, you know, traumatic and stressful for mom. It's to imagine being the, you know, if we could remember what it was like coming out of the birth canal, like that whole stressful, you know, painful experience for the baby being, you know, pushed through the birth canal, you know, when they're coming out, it's very physically, you know, stressful on the baby. So making sure she was adjusted, it was one tiny little adjustment to Atlas, which is the very top vertebrae in your neck. You know, she was wailing, crying, which is fantastic. You obviously want little babies to start doing that when they first come out, but I adjusted her. I just held my finger on her neck. While Jess was still in the tub, you know, waiting for placenta and all that, you know, she was making her way out of the tub. I was holding Shane, you know, just held my finger there for, I don't know, 15 seconds or so. And then all of a sudden her head just, she like fell asleep for like for a split second.
Wow.
Right. Like just that complete ease just came into her body. And then she came right back and like snapped out of it almost and went right to Jess and started breastfeeding for the first time. So little babies, pregnant women, people with some sort of symptom or pain, and people without anything going on, right? So people like yourself who came to the office like, hey, I just want to like help myself and be preventative about things and just do something that I know is good for myself and, you know, keep myself healthy. So yeah, I think that's, most people don't think of coming to a chiropractor unless something's wrong, which is completely fine. You know, I get that. The majority of people that do come to my office have something going on, but there are those handful of people, again, like yourself, that have come in. She's like, you know what? I've been before, or I just know this is going to be awesome for me, and I just want to come regularly. It's like fantastic. Like I love that because you know we're already starting on the upswing because we're not trying to get past any like actual like symptom. But it's for anybody at any time in your life, young, old, in between, going through some sort of physical pain, emotional, anything like that. It literally runs the gamut for anybody at any time in your life.
So people like myself, I kind of had like a reoccurring little issue in my hip, but I knew that it was healing. But it's like what we talked about earlier is how the healthcare system and our perception of health in the healthcare system, it's not a preventative thing or proactive. It's good for emergency situations, but to approaching your own health and wellness as very proactive and trying to promote your best self, because our natural state is really feeling great and healthy and having energy. People just don't realize that that's normal not to have adrenal fatigue and chronic, you know.
It's funny you mention that energy thing, because one of the most common things that I hear in the office when people start care is, oh my God, I'm sleeping so much better, or I have more energy. Like that's almost all, you know, a big chunk, a big percentage of the people that are in the office, like their first thing that they're telling me has changed. It's like, oh my gosh, I went home and slept amazing last night. Or I just have more energy. Like, I don't know why. They like, I don't know why, but I just have more energy. But to me, it's just like, well, I know why. Like, you're not carrying around all this extra stress that your body's having to deal with, and you can get back to doing what you're supposed to be doing and having energy and loving, you know, getting back to living the life that, you know, you want to live, not being, you know, this victim of your symptoms or this victim of your body.
Yeah, I think being a victim of your body, that shift in my perception, especially as a woman, of like my uterus and having a period and a cycle, just shifting your perspective on your period or your body.
Yeah.
Oh, that is like life changing. I mean,
absolutely. I think it's really hard for people to understand that even if they're experiencing some sort of symptoms, you know, pain, whatever it may be, that they're not broken. Like there's nothing wrong with you, right?
Yeah.
And getting that point across to people can be really hard, especially if they're experiencing some sort of whatever sickness, anything like that, that's, you know, really tough, or potentially life threatening. You know, it's very hard to see that, but like you said, shifting your perception of it and your intention around it can be a game changer. So seeing, you know, these symptoms or pain or anything like that is not, oh my gosh, like there it goes again, like my neck's hurting or whatever. Like, gosh, what's wrong with me? Like, no, it's like, okay, what is your body telling you?
Yeah.
What do you need to do different? What can you change? What action do you need to start doing, or what action do you need to stop doing? I mean, and change it like that. Cause you know, like yourself, that is what really began to change my perception on my body and my relationship to my health, was starting to see those things as, oh, there's not broken. There's nothing really wrong. Like, but what is my body trying to tell me? And then like, taking the action that I need to take around whatever's going on.
That's profound. That's powerful to think.
Yeah.
And to realize that I still have to check myself for like myself, that your body can hear how you talk to it. Mm-hmm. And just like realizing that when you're having that pain, or, you know, your back hurts, your neck hurts, you're like, oh, here it goes again. What I like to do is, instead of, to be able to step out of that victim mode of like that pain's happening to you, it's just kind of, you're going to think this is like impossible, to shift out of it being in pain and say, oh, that's a sensation. I'm feeling a lot of sensation right now. Mm-hmm. Realizing that you need to listen to that sensation.
Yeah.
And your body's trying to tell you something, like you said. And I think shifting out of the perspective that you're in pain to realizing that it's just a signal or a message or a sensation can help too, because then you can become more of the observer of it at a higher perspective. And that's when you can figure out what you need to do or what you don't need to do anymore.
Right. Absolutely. And it's, when you get to that point, we can make the best decision for ourselves in that moment. Right. And maybe that is, hey, I need medical help. Like, this is something that has got to a point where I need that step, which is perfectly fine. You know, I'm not against medicine. There's just a time and a place for everything. But, you know, when you were just saying that, made me think of this acronym that a friend of mine has. He's a chiropractor. He's actually over in the Netherlands, or I'm sorry, not Netherlands, Norway. He came up for pain, is pay attention inside now.
Ooh, I like that.
And pay attention inside down. It's all what we're talking about. It's become more aware. Like, pay attention. What is your body telling you? Like, that is what pain is.
And I mean, that's how you want to connect your intuition. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing. It's a different kind of sensation.
Yeah.
But it's your body trying to tell you something.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, that's powerful. One of the last things I want to ask just briefly, because I find it so interesting, because I know we could have a whole episode about how each vertebrae relates to thoughts and stuff. Could you talk to us about the input and output, the atlas and the, where the first two vertebrae, you know atlas what I'm talking about. Yeah, go ahead. You tell us all about that. Like just down your thoughts and like what.
Yeah. So that is something that I heard and learned from, again, another huge, 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 huge mentor of mine in chiropractic, Dr. Arno Bernier. This talk I heard him, he was talking about the spine and just kind of really going in depth at, you know, talking about it and its relationship to all these different things. So he like worked his way all the way up from sacrum all the way up to the top of the spine. So when you get to the top of the spine, you know, it's two vertebrae at the top of our spine. The very first one is atlas, or the first cervical vertebra, and the second one is axis, or the, you know, C2 or second cervical vertebra. So atlas, you know, just like the Greek god that was, you know, tasked to hold the weight of the world on his shoulders, atlas holds your world on it, meaning it's literally the first cervical vertebra that is holding your head, right? That is your world, you know, your brain. You know, the hub at the center of your nervous system, the center of your connection to that intelligence. Vertebra is misaligned or in, you know, not moving properly. You know, we can have a kind of like a distorted view of our world, right? So then, you know, you go to C2 or axis. Is more of, you know, what, how I've heard it explained is that, you know, axis is the rudder, you know, it's kind of like this direction, you know, how a rudder guides a boat. Axis is our guidance system that moves basically. So this thing of C2 moves straight posterior, so backwards, denial of self. I remember the kind of the example he used was military. You think of military, they're standing up straight, you know, completely straight, chin back, chin tucked. And you know, in chiropractic, we know that is, you know, military neck is when you're completely straight cervical spine instead of having a nice curve in your neck. Well, all those vertebrae are going backwards. So we're denying self, right? So in the military, you deny self so you can listen and take orders and do what you're told, right? But then if you have right or left, your rudder is taking you away from, basically, if you go right or left, you're taking yourself away from your true purpose in life. You're you're out of alignment in your life somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously it's not all the time that you have these things like, oh, like C2 goes posterior, this person is, you know, denying themselves.
Yeah.
But it can be. And when you realize it and have reverence for that and notice it, when you know, it's for me as a chiropractor, adjusting things like that is where people can have some profound changes, not only in their body, but in their life as well.
Yeah. I think when you're looking for chiropractic care is to be able to, with any type of medical care, have an open conversation. Cause I find things like that, even though it may not always be associated with those vertebrae, but that's helpful for the patient to empower them to know too, is mm-hmm. am I in my life denying something, or am I off course from what I'm really supposed to be doing? Because I know in my own life that how it can happen is, an example is when I get stressed out and not don't know where I'm going with my own passions through, you know, this podcast or my health coaching or helping other people, and get stressed out of like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm never going to be able to do this full time. And, you know, that snowball of anxiety and stress mm-hmm. just piling up. My neck, as soon as that happens, it's like snap, and it just tenses up. Oh, God, and it's those vertebrae. And it's amazing. I think I'm abnormally tuned in to my body. So I know people probably
fantastic in my view. That's awesome.
which, you know, I thought was a curse, but it's a blessing. I really think it is. But yeah, I think chiropractor just helps with you tuning in to your body on all levels. And I think through yoga, I realized that you're only, and through this, you're only as young as your spine is flexible. And I think it's beautiful to pair the two together. And and I love, and I just wanted to end with, I love what you and your wife Jess are doing with creating a kind of a woman's night next month. If you want to give us a little bit of detail behind and what's going to be all about.
We are working with May 15th. I believe it's a Thursday. It's not set in stone at this point, but that's kind of the date we're working with. We just kind of came up with this name for this event. It's called Tribe Talks. So it's all about creating a space for women to feel empowered by other women, right? So we're bringing other women, or bringing women in to this event that have some knowledge or maybe run their business or anything like that around health, mindset, exercise, wealth, money, these kind of things. So it's kind of the topics we're kind of bringing in are all those things. So have a space for women to come and meet other women that are maybe in the same position, or see somebody that is, you know, maybe running a business that they are interested in and maybe want to do it themselves, and just get more information and just have an open conversation and start to, you know, quote unquote, create the tribe of people that people can start to lean on and become friends with, and, you know, create these networks with people so they can continue to grow.
Yeah, I think that's so profound, because you're not on this healing journey by yourself. Mm-mm. You have to build your tribe. You have, you know, it takes a village.
Yes, it does.
Is what I've learned. And, you know, it's not fun to do it alone.
You need some help.
You need some help. And that's, I mean, that's when you go to things like this, this event, or kind of tune in and listen to what things let you up, that's when you bring in very special people to your life. And that's how I met you and your wife, is I was doing an expo and you guys just came to my booth, and it was just like, we were friends for lifetimes. And I'm a big believer of, you know, being in those, just being you, like your purest form of you, is you're going to attract the best quality people into your life. And this, these tribe talks, that's a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
So thank you both for doing that together. Yeah, I am too. Yeah,
absolutely. You're welcome.
All right. Well, I think we are going to close up. Do you have anything else you would like to add to the listeners?
No, I just want to say thank you to you for having me on. I really appreciate it. I feel like it's very rare to have an outlet like this to actually share all of the things that I got to share with you and your listeners. So I really appreciate you giving me the chance to share it with everybody.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for sharing all of this, because I think the world needs to know the truth about chiropractic.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you. And I will talk to you later.
All right. Sounds good.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way. Hey guys, like what you heard today and want to hear more and don't want to wait until the next podcast comes out? Head over to laurenchalantani.com/freebie-download to sign up for my free monthly meditation series, Let's Meditate. Now, I only email about twice a month, and one of those always includes a free meditation, which means each of those emails is packed with juicy info, like latest news on the Witchy Wellness Radio, my new blog post, and of course, the free monthly meditation series, Let's Meditate. And lastly, exclusive openings for email list subscribers only to work with me. So head on over to laurenchalantani.com/freebie-download for this month's feature freebie meditation, which means you can download this month's meditation instantly and not have to wait for the next month to be sent out. Instant download means instant healing. Thanks, and I hope you guys enjoy.